And we're very honored to have a very talented Matt Schultz in the studio right now of Cage the Elephant. How's it going, Matt?
Hello. Thank you. I appreciate that intro.
Well, I thought you were talking about me.
Well, you're talented in other ways, dear.
Yeah.
First, I do want to say Tim and I just are so passionate about the new record. It is just off the chain. We listen to it all the time.
It's an incredible album.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
I mean, it's really a good day starter.
We poured a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into that record. So
I have to tell you, Matt, it made it to the hard drive in my car. And not many albums make it to the hard drive in the car.
Well, I appreciate that. It's an honor.
It just, sonically to me, I mean, you guys have had such an incredible couple of years. I mean, like six top, number one alternatives in the past 2 years. I mean, Cage had just been blowing up. And then you come out with Tell Me I'm Pretty. And I'm listening to this album and I'm like, if you told me pick the single, it would be hard.
I appreciate that. I really do appreciate it.
I mean, there's so many great songs on the album. And, you know, I'm kind of an old fart, Matt. So what kind of really struck me is the album sounds like, to me, and you can say I'm full of it, but I think the greatest years of rock and roll were like 1967 to about 1971.
I love those years in rock and roll myself as well.
And sure, this album sounds like that.
Thank you so much. When we were making the record, Dan has a really deep knowledge of obscure garage rock that we had never heard of. Like he would do this really cool thing where we would cut a track and then he'd bring everyone into the control room, mm-hmm, and just start spinning these records, these obscure records. And it'd be like some Argentinian garage rock band from like 65 or whatever. And we're trying to Shazam and it won't come up on Shazam, you know. And he definitely had a really positive effect in that way. Also, I think one of the things that is one of Dan's strong suits, and I think that also translates possibly as a more classic or timeless sound, is that Dan wanted us to peel back the layers rather than nervously just trying to pile things on top of the track. Mm-hmm. And he just really believed in allowing the material to stand for itself. Mm-hmm. And I think that was another really huge positive impact on the record.
Well, there's so many just reminiscences throughout the album on different tracks. And I'm like, you know, for 1 minute, I feel like I'm listening to one band, and then I feel like I'm listening to another band. And I'm talking about historical things. I'm talking about Velvet Underground, like the Yardbirds.
Pixies.
You know, all these images popping into my head. And I'm like, this is cool. You know?
Well, it was funny because while we were touring for Melophobia, that was just an incredible couple years to supporting that record. And one of the really great things that happened was during one of the Bonnaroo performances while we were mm-hmm, supporting it, I got asked to do the Super Jam and with Robbie Krieger, The Doors, and we did Break On Through.
I remember. We were there.
Yeah, and so we were rehearsing the song before Robbie showed up. And everybody was wigging out like I wrote the song. And I was just like, you know, I think that people miss this kind of sentiment so badly that they want someone to embody that, mm-hmm, that spirit. And so when we went into, and this was before Robbie came in, then when he came in and like plugged in and started playing the guitar, it's like, oh, that's where the sound of The Doors comes from, in the man's fingers, because he's not playing through a pedal or anything. He just plugs into the amp, and his sound is just how he plays. It's one of the incredible things about a lot of those guys from that time period. And so, anyways, when we went to start writing the record, we really wanted to capture the spirit that was behind that, because, mm-hmm, you know, we don't feel any particular responsibility to align ourselves with like any genre specific title or anything like that. But the spirit of rock and roll,
right,
is what we love and we want to carry with our music no matter where we go. So
yeah, well, you definitely nailed it.
You with, definitely have the spirit.
Tell Me I'm Pretty, because it's a rock and roll album. I think it's a great rock and roll album.
Thank you so much.
And we're anxiously awaiting seeing you on stage performing it live. Have you gotten a nice outfit for tonight?
I don't know.
So, you look so good at Bonnaroo. He is
the golden
a stage
jacket.
Man. He is a stage
space
man for sure. It was very cool, even when you're surfing in the crowd. Do you ever?
Yeah.
Please
back,
do.
Back to the album just for a second. Somebody with a label told me that y'all actually used a lot of vintage amps in the studio.
During the recording process, I think that Nick was amped up most of the time, and I couldn't say what amp he was running through, but Brad actually went direct into the board almost
really?
On all the tracks, yeah. I mean, it was an amazing, I couldn't tell you what the board was either. I'm not really a tech guy, but I know that, it's a really nice piece of equipment that, that has some years on it.
Yeah.
And, we just went straight into the board and made it sound dirty.
Well, as you can tell, the way we're gushing about it, we love the album and your vocals are great on the album, but you got to tell those guys, incredible guitar work.
I will.
I mean,
Brad does a great job in drumming, too. I mean, it is really phenomenal. He and I fight about what the next single should be.
Which one do you think?
What Cold,
you
guys? Cold, Cold.
Yes, Cold, that's Cold. Good. That's good.
Me, personally, I like, I like the whole album, but Too Late to Say Goodbye.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's the big conversation that's going on right now.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a just
that's
it.
That's good. I'm glad.
Know, I don't know if it's
that means we're getting close to the mark at least.
Oh, yeah. Like I told you when we started the conversation, I could pick 5 songs on that album and easily play them on the radio with no hesitation.
Thank you. I really do appreciate that. We did... We put a lot of truth in that record, and sometimes it was more easy to reveal, and other times it was not as easy. So it means a lot when you know that it's going out there and actually doing things.
But there's a lot of people here on the Gulf Coast who are, you know, coming to hang out tonight, really anxious to see you guys, because you were supposed to play in Mobile last year
in October,
and got canceled.
Okay.
And so now you're back.
Well, it's good to be back.
So, glad to see you on the headline.
There's going to be a lot of people here to see you guys tonight.
They were so depressed in Mobile because,
oh man,
you know, Cage the Elephant.
Well, we're glad to be back, and it blows us away just where the band's gone. I remember when we first started out, we'd be like the first on, like 11:45 or whatever. I'm like, wouldn't it be cool if someday we could like headline or play the main stage or whatever? Actually, at that point, we were like, wouldn't it be cool if we could play at the tent?
Yeah.
Like, and for it to come this far is just pretty amazing.
Well, I mean, how has it changed for you the past couple of years?
I've learned a lot. Mm-hmm. Is the best way to explain it. Just trying to like shed creative baggage, mm-hmm. things that like might hinder the creative experience, fears and pitfalls and those things, and just trying to kind of like wiggle free from those and continue to move forward. So it's changed a lot in that way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as we're talking and people are listening out there, you really got to understand that Cage the Elephant, as I said a while ago, six number ones in the past 2 years or so, best decade anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been quite a ride.
It has. And it's one of those things that honestly, you, as it's unfolding, there are times that you don't really realize what's happening. And then there's other times where you look back and you're like, oh wow, that's crazy. Like, we did that. just because you're constantly like naturally adjusting to what's happening and stuff, but it is pretty crazy. Like, to hear you talk about it, like, that's crazy for me. Like, honestly.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. And, we were interviewing a new band from Great Britain, the Struts. And, Luke Spiller, their lead singer, was going on and on and on about, in the interview, about there's just no bands with a front man like me. And I said, wait a minute, how about Cage?
You need to go see Cage the Elephant, yeah.
He was like saying, there's not that many bands anymore where there's just a guy who's a front man. I'm like, what about Cage the Elephant?
He's inspired a lot by Queen, and he's very flamboyant, I don't want to say flamboyant, but very flashy, and they rock, and they have more hints of, like, the 70s glam rock.
Okay.
Is what is very rough. They're very good.
I'll have to check it out, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Struts.
So Leanne asked you what you're going to wear tonight, and you don't know, but...
I'm not sure yet.
But we know you're going to put on a show.
Okay, I had one more question, though. I've noticed on the new record, the word trouble.
Yeah.
Comes up a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it, of course, has the dichotomous thing. But yet, you just got married to a beautiful French model. How could you be thinking about trouble?
You know, throughout my life and very much so in the recent times when we're recording Tell Me I'm Pretty, I can just struggle with bouts of depression. And there are certain things about my personal life that aren't necessarily publicly known or whatever from like growing up and stuff. And just like overcoming adversities and stuff. So a lot of that's in the music. And I was talking to someone about this last night. It's like with each step of the career or whatever, as the band has grown and acquired some success or whatever, there's always been a nice dose of pain with it to kind of keep things real. And, yeah, so.
Okay. I comprehend. I just wanted to confirm if it was.
Since you asked that question, Portuguese Night Fight.
Yeah.
Oh,
what a
yeah,
great song.
Love that song.
Where'd that come from?
We actually were playing Port in Portugal. And we like went for a wander and we ended up in a bad neighborhood. And so I was like, man, I would not want to get in a fight here because I'm pretty sure it'd be a knife fight. And I was like, Portuguese knife fight. So I wrote it down. And then I remember as soon as I wrote it down, I was like, this should be about like a relationship instead of like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's good. Yeah, that's right. That was the other song, Punching Bag. I was going to ask you about that one. If that was
Punching Bag, Brad and I, we're getting into it one day in the studio, and he was like just constantly over my shoulder that day. And so I started writing the song about Brad, and I was like, I'm not your punching bag. And then I guess I decided I didn't want the negative vibes to carry over into the album. So I just started thinking, and I thought it would be nice to write a song about her name's just slipped my memory, but the serial killer who would kill men who abused her.
Oh yeah.
We're getting help from off.
Yeah, we're gonna phone
people
a friend.
Are start tweeting.
Yeah, totally.
Let me check the Twitter right now. Yeah.
Can I get a lifeline?
But I watched a documentary on that, and I was like, that'd be a cool thing to write about.
Cool.
Oh, that is. I like that. That's a good idea. So remember, don't mess with the ladies, man. You just never know. Yeah, tell them they're pretty. So anything else?
No, I just thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, really was an honor to get to talk to you about a great record.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I really do. So thanks for coming in. It's Matt Schultz, Cage the Elephant, Backstage Hangout Festival with 92 Zoo.